I'm sure each of us have heard a message that impacted us in a certain way. It stays with us. You listen to a certain message and man, it resonates in you, it sticks with you. I heard such a message this past feast. The speaker, Mr. Greg Swartz, he's a doctor of dentistry. He travels routinely to Rwanda, the country of Rwanda in Africa. He was a speaker. Rwanda, by the way, is a small country in Africa. In relation to other countries in Africa, you can see up on the overhead that it's relatively small. It has around 14 million people. There are two predominant tribes, the Hutus and the Tutsis. Now, for centuries, the Europeans were in control of Rwanda. And they had a puppet government, the Tutsi, on one of the tribes were the Tutsis. However, in 1959, there was a revolt. And it solidified the control of the tribes. And by the end of the revolt in 1962, they were totally independent from Belgium, who was a European in control, European country in control. However, this too terminated the puppet government of the Tutsis. Now, this was a bad thing because the Hutus are many more in population, much more in population than the Tutsis. The Tutsis are a minority. So much so that in 59, when the revolt started, 100,000 of them, 100,000 Tutsis fled Rwanda to other countries. But in 1960, there was an election, and the Hutus gained control of the country. They went and they took total control. They passed policies that favored the Hutus and discriminated the Tutsis. And it eventually led to, in 1994, a genocide in which Hutus extremists systematically murdered 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus. Through all this in Rwanda that was happening, in 1974, God called a gentleman and his wife in Rwanda. His name is Mr. Malawi. He was baptized in the church in a previous affiliation that we had. He is of the Hutu tribe, and his wife was half Hutu and half Tutsi. And now he's a minister in the Kagwa congregation, in the Rwanda congregation in the Church of Kagwa. They have been through many hardships, but they are committed to the faith. And they said, the reason why we're committed, because we have the vision. We have the vision. So my sermonette today is titled, Committed to the Vision. Turn with me, brethren, to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. And it talks about vision. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, and you can see that when you step outside, the people perish. But he that keeps the law is happy. Even though we're under affliction, because we know, it means that we're happy because we know the truth. And we have the vision, right? That is what has kept them committed to their faith. They have embraced the vision. They have been faithful to God's laws. Their faith is strong. And you might have heard something about Rwanda when, during the feast, they were incarcerated. And it took ministers from Kagwa to get them out. But they couldn't even practice the feast. And even there, in Rwanda, their building that they have is under pad and locked. It's locked. They can't. They're forbidden to congregate and have the Sabbath there. It's called religious persecution, and we can see it. We can't touch it. The minister has experienced firsthand during that 1994 episode when Hutu's extremists went to his house, and they went to each house and sought out Tutsis and killed them. They went to his house, and through his neighbors, they found out his wife was half Tutsi. And I'm pretty sure there was an argument, and they didn't like it. And there's no Tutsi. Yes, she is. She got a rifle butt in her face. He intervened and successfully stopped them from beating her. And that was one occasion. The second time was towards the end of that barbaric murder. There was a second time, but before, it's written in Daniel 7:25. We don't have to go there, but Daniel 7:25 is predicting the future. Daniel is, and it says, "He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." 3.5 years, as we most of us know. So there is going to be a persecution, but Rwanda is experiencing it firsthand. Rwanda, Mr. Malawi, told us towards the end of that regime that allowed those murders, he said four Tutsi young people came to his house and sought refuge. They asked him, because he was a teacher, and they asked him to hide them. And I ask you, what would you do? That's a hard question. Well, he hid the boys. They were a boy and a girl, I think. There were four of them. They hid them in the attic. And they were there for 2 months. And lo and behold, through neighbors, they were told that they were hiding at Mr. Malawi's house. So the Hutus came to his house, and they banged through the door, and they said, "Okay, where are they?" And they didn't say anything. And at that time, his boy, his son, Mr. Malawi's son, was 15 years old. And they grabbed his son, put his arm over a table, and said, "If you don't tell us, we're going to chop his arm off." And right then and there, one of the feet of the people that were hiding in the ceiling went through the ceiling. Unfortunately, the Hutus took him, and they took him out in the back of Mr. Malawi's yard, and they hacked him to death with machetes. And after they had done, they received a phone radio call, and they left. And Mr. Malawi says, "Well, we've grown numb to all this butchery and being persecuted." Even that, the church in Rwanda grows. It is getting bigger. It's just not him and his wife. There's a following there. I think there's like 6 or 7 people. He's baptized people in the river. He said he wasn't baptized. But he has challenges in the river too. He's the last person he baptized. He had to make it quick because there was crocodiles in the river. Let's go follow with me 1 Kings 18:22. Because he also said that even though we're by ourselves, that's what he said. We as a family, we are by ourselves. We remain committed. In 1 Kings 18:22, and this is Elijah, right? Elijah said to them, this is when he was asking God to start a fire, right? And in verse 22 in chapter 18, he says, "Then Elijah said to them," the people that are around him, he says, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left." I wonder what happened to the rest of them. "But Baal has 450 prophets." And we know the story after that. We have brethren throughout the world that are in the faith, alone with their family, but they maintain the faith. Now, are they afraid? Yes, they are afraid. But they still maintain the faith. In 1 Kings, we know that, you don't have to go there, but you can, 1 Kings 19, verse 3, Elijah himself pleads, and he said, he was afraid for his life, it said, because of Jezebel. I call him Elijah the running man, right? But he was afraid of Jezebel, because she was out to get him. And we're not immune, brethren. Little by little, we can see the degrading of this country and this religious, the faith going down. But it states in Hebrews 11:9, it says, "By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country." That's what it says in Hebrews 11:9. "He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were in heirs with him of the same promise." That vision they have is the same as ours. That's what's beautiful. Mr. Malawi's vision and ours are the same. We all seek the kingdom and the homeland. I'm sure that Mr. Malawi's congregation prays for us, because Mr. Malawi, unfortunately, they're used to that kind of treatment. I don't think we are. In Hebrews 11:14, it states that we seek a country, the kingdom. This is just an example. We in this country, little by little, like I said, are suffering more and more persecution. We've said there were little shootings in those different kinds of churches. We've heard that through the news. I admonish each of us to stay strong in the faith, maintain that vision, brethren, and embrace the truth. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.